Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On Tuesday, an armed 18-year-old entered Robb Elementary School in the small town of Uvalde, Texas, about 85 miles west of San Antonio, and opened fire. He killed 19 children and two teachers. My name is Savannah Jones, and on this episode of In Depth, we take a look at how to heal and move forward after tragedy strikes. First, we'll hear from former Fort Worth Police Chief Jeff Houston on how the shooting could have possibly happened, preparedness, and how we can avoid this in the future.
You think it's unthinkable, and then it really happens like this. It's more catastrophic than you can even imagine.
Then, we'll hear from Dr. Laura Vogel with the Momentous Institute in Dallas. She offers advice on how to talk to your children about sensitive topics, such as the Uvalde shooting, and a deep dive into mental health wellness.
I would suggest that there is a conversation, and it's a slow kind of easing into it.
David Rankin and Kristen Diaz talked to Jeff Houston on an episode of Ask the Expert North Texas.
On today's Ask the Expert, we're joined now to discuss this tragedy with former Fort Worth Police Chief Jeff Halstead. Chief, thank you so much for taking the time on this kind of a tragic, this tragic day. And a lot of people are going to be making comparisons to the last one, Sandy Hook, or the one in Florida as well. What can you say about something like this?
Well, all of these shootings will come back to one of three items, and it's going to be undiagnosed mental illness, a catastrophic personal trauma or event, or it's revenge or hatred. All three will have one of those nexus elements here. And when you think it's unthinkable and then it really happens like this, it's more catastrophic than you can even imagine. And it just, our heart breaks for all of the victims and those families involved. This is just a horrible, horrible scene.
We always like to say, it's never going to happen to me. It's never going to happen to us, my family, my community. But then when it does, you would hope that there's some preparation. We've seen this time after time here across the nation. So schools have now implemented lockdowns, lockouts, active shooter drills. How much of a concern is it that this is still, these shooters are still getting access to our kids by just walking through the front doors?
Well, one of the most, I think, concerning things happened in the last 2 years. Remember, since Columbine, the entire nation did aggressive active shooter drills where they deployed almost every police officer in America in these types of trainings. But then 2 years ago this month, the defund the police trend went about. They started removing police officers from schools. And now schools are more accessible than ever with these types of threats and violence. I think these school leaders need to get back to getting police officers on campuses and have a stand of authority so that we can at least take that first measure to stop this kind of aggressive violence.
And a lot of schools around the area have obviously in the last couple of years as well started arming teachers as well, thinking that might be an answer.
And, you know, sometimes that can be an answer. But remember, that was a solution after Sandy Hook because of the way the isolation of attack was going on, concentrated within that one room. But in an element like this and this type of a tragic incident, if police were to respond very, very quickly, you don't know who the active shooter suspect is and who the armed teacher is. That is going to be an extreme challenge. The best solution, get those police officers back in these schools. It's going to be your first line of defense.
John Little speaks with Dr. Laura Vogel on mental health.
Visiting with Dr. Laura Vogel with the Momentous Institute in Dallas, certified therapist and director of therapeutic services there. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I wanted to really focus in today on talking to our kids about a shooting like this and how we do it. How do we bring it up? Do we wait for them to bring it up? Things mm-hmm. like that. Just it feels like there are a lot of questions even when thinking about those steps to take.
Sure. You know, and one, I would say I have a lot of faith in parents that they know their kids. And so they know which kids they should bring it up with and which they may wait for them to bring it up to them. But what I would also say is, you know, if your kids have a smartphone, they know what's going on. They know, and if they've been, as they're coming home from school today, my guess is the majority of children will have heard about this. And so given that, I would suggest that there is a conversation, and it's a slow kind of easing into it, but just an opening up of space of wondering if you have questions. It's a pretty big deal, and if you have questions, if you're having thoughts or reactions, I want to give us time to talk about this. Some kids are natural where they're the kids that are chatting all the way home from school, they're going to bring it up. But other kids are looking to us and waiting, like, what do I do? Are you going to bring this up? Should we talk about this? Is it okay to talk about this? And I do think those messages of us being the one to initiate some of those conversations allows that, you know, implicit permission for kids that, yeah, this is okay to talk about.
Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. You know, it's never good to sweep anything under the rug, but, you know, I do as well, you know, think about, man, I don't want to force, you know, too much. So how much is too much? And again, it depends on their age, I'm sure, and it depends on their mental makeup. As you say, you know your kids best, but what are the first things first kind of things to stick with? If you could take us through some of those.
Sure. You know, and I think just beginning with that space of first asking questions. What have you heard? What questions do you have about it? Because depending upon what they've heard, they may have heard very little. And so then you may be making decisions about, do you offer more information to them? If they've heard very little, some parents may want to prepare, like as you go back to school, or as you talk to your friends, you may hear more about this. If they've heard a lot, being able to help them, you know, understand what's real, what's not. But then really, it's about acknowledging that this is one of these tough situations that most of us don't ever have to deal with. Most of us don't, you know, haven't encountered in our lives. And it's okay to be confused right now. It's okay to have a vast majority of feelings. One of the things I think is very helpful for parents is to begin to expand children's vocabulary for emotions, because the more we have labels for our emotions, the more we can be very intentional in how we want to respond to them. Because most kids are going to be like, yeah, happy, mad, sad, afraid. But if we can really expand on those core emotions, that maybe I'm feeling vulnerable, maybe I'm feeling insecure, maybe I'm feeling grief, but that if we can label them, then they can respond in a different way. And I'm also being careful not to say, oh, if we label them, we can control them. The message shouldn't be we need to control our feelings about this. Our feelings are our feelings. They're authentic. Whatever reaction you're having is okay right now. And that's the core piece of it. The other thing is that some kids may need to talk about it once and they're good. They move on. Other kids may need to come back to this multiple times. And what I would say to parents is, don't be alarmed by that. They're processing through it, and they're processing through perhaps just little chunks each time that maybe right today I'm need to talk about this, and 3 days more information has come at me, and now I need to talk more about this, or I may just need to talk about the same thing repeatedly. But that's our way of finding a place for it so that it doesn't overwhelm us.
I think this is a great topic as well, checking on the mental health of our teachers. I've even, you know, a friend of mine who is a teacher, she's just like, I'm so heartbroken. It's not that she was saying that she was scared to go to school today. I'm sure some are, you know, but it affects all of our teachers. And there are so many in our lives. How can we let them know we're there for them?
You know, my sister's a third grade teacher, and I checked on her this morning. I'm like, I imagine going to school this morning is going to feel different. And I think it's that connect. I'm here. I'm acknowledging that when you are initiating that reach out, it's an acknowledgement of you're holding something slightly different today than you were yesterday. It feels different. And I think that's deeply appreciated. When they have to reach out to us, it means something different than if we're initiating that. But it's opening that door and just checking on them, and checking on them this morning, checking on them tomorrow, especially as we're winding down the end of the year. You know, they're holding so much as it is, and it's a challenging time anyway, at this time of year. But I think today it feels different. And, you know, and my sister's response was, I always keep my door locked. I'm always ready for that. But I'm just sitting with the grief right now for these families. You know, so I think that's a lot of what they're holding. Sadly, teachers are accustomed to having to hold some of this right now. We've had a lot of these episodes happen over the course of last week or so. But just these are incidents that teachers have been managing for several years. And so I feel like they're equipped. They know what to do with kids. I have a lot of faith in them. But I do think teachers really appreciate us initiating that reach out, that this is different.
For sure. Because you think about it, they are the first line of defense in a situation like this, whether it's more active, like some people are talking about, or if it's just, you know, I mean, they deal with it every year. They go through drills with these kids, and they form connections with these kids in order to keep them safe in case anything ever were to happen.
And they're dealing with their emotional well-being this morning. Mm. You know, parents are too, but then now they're collectively holding the group's emotional well-being as children are coming in and talking about it and being at schools in a, you know, the same environment this happened in. So kids may actually end up talking about it more at school than they might at home. So I know teachers are holding that with their kids.
That's just a great point. You know, I'd love to talk as well about just the mental health struggles of teens, you know, and we can't necessarily get into the mentality of this person who did this, but he was young. He's 18. The brain's not fully developed, as, you know, we've been told. More than that specific instance, just the importance of mental health and helping out any kid, you know, whether it be this 18-year-old here, the 18-year-old in Buffalo, or just a normal 18-year-old on the street.
Yeah. And I mean, at first, I think it's important to reassure folks that this kind of violence is so incredibly rare. It feels like it's happening a lot because we're talking about it a lot. But you know, this level of violence is exceptional. And right now, as we've come out of COVID, you know, and just dealing with everything that our adolescents have dealt with in the last couple of years, we definitely are seeing, you know, a heightened awareness of mental health needs, which is a good thing that people are more aware and responding. And I think it's that keeping the lines of communication open is so critical for adolescents, and they're looking to each other quite a bit. But if you're talking to your adolescent about their emotional well-being, mental health needs, if you've got questions, but just normalizing that these big emotional feelings, that's okay to experience. We're all going to have rough patches, and it doesn't mean that there's, quote, something, you know, wrong with you, but it's important to talk to us about this. And they may not respond to you as a parent directly, but they're hearing these messages, they're talking to each other, and they then may be more willing to reach out to a counselor at school. They may come to you. But I think it's the critical message is the more we as families normalize and make it not a big ugly secret that I'm depressed or I'm anxious or I'm afraid to go to school or I've had thoughts of cutting myself or I've had thoughts about suicide or harm, that if we can normalize talking about it, kids are much more likely to come to us. But if nobody in my family ever talks about this, then it can feel like I can't say anything. I'll be too embarrassed to tell my family that this is what I'm managing. And most of us, you know, myself included, my generation, it wasn't something we talked about. And I think that's what COVID has taught us in some ways, is the more we talk about, the more we normalize it, the more likely kids are to get the help they need before things kind of spiral to a point where it becomes a crisis.
For continuing coverage of the Uvalde shooting and the latest news in Texas, listen to KRLD or visit KRLD.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.